Good morning, everyone. It is Sunday, January the 17th, 2021. This is lockdown Sunday number 4, if you're keeping track. And just want to welcome you and say hi to everyone. Miss you here in the auditorium, but I trust that everything is going well for you. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this another Lord's Day. We thank you for your keeping us safe and sound during this past week and even today, even though we're not able to be here together in the sanctuary. I know, Lord, that your people here are worshiping you this morning for a little while, and we trust that you will bring your blessings to bear upon each one who is a part of Berean Baptist in these days. We thank you also again for giving us the opportunity to worship you, and we can do that on our own, and we thank you for that, and pray that you would be pleased with that which we offer to you this morning. We think of some of our folks that are not doing well physically and health-wise. We ask that you might minister to them as only you can, and that you would bring your healing into their lives and into their bodies as well. We pray particularly for Maria Lombardi, who, as far as we understand today, is over at Parkwood Hospital, just recovering from a number of things that she was in hospital for. We pray that you would be with her, that you would grant her a good day, that you would bring your peace and your grace to bear in her life, and that she might have rest in you and be able to recover from the difficulties that she has had. And so we commit her to your care and keeping this morning and ask that you might bless in Maria's life. We thank you also for the way that you take care of all of us in these days. And we look to you always, Lord, for your guidance, for your strength, your grace in our life, that we might be able to bear up under the difficult situations that we are in right now, that we might always be a good testimony for thyself, and that we would honor you by being obedient to your word. And so thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence and be able to record our service this morning. We trust that it will be a blessing to each one. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to invite you to join in singing a hymn this morning. The hymn is "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." Familiar hymn. You might not know the words to all of the verses, but we have a congregation singing the hymn that you can join along with if you wish. If you don't know the words, maybe you can hum along with the tune. This is the congregation from Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, singing "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." Join in if you wish.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was good singing this morning. Let me invite you now to take your Bibles and turn with me to Daniel chapter 1 for our scripture reading this morning. We are going to be reading from verse 8 down to the end of the chapter, verse 21. You can follow along as we read. Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, we read this. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. And said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. As thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in Osiris. We'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds this morning. The announcements are in the bulletin, and you can read the bulletin on our church website under the link for bulletins. You can see today's bulletin there. Thank you, Linda, for continuing to do this for us and for being able to post it onto our church website. Also, as you probably are aware now, our premier has decided to enact a state of emergency here in Ontario. It began last Thursday. It's to run for 28 days, which means then that we're all supposed to stay home unless you have to go to work, or you're out getting groceries or going to a doctor's appointment or something like that, some essential thing to be out and about. We are locked down further than until Thursday, February the 11th. So our services will be suspended for all of those intervening Sundays, again, Wednesdays as well. And if things hold as have been given to us, then we should be able to get back together on Sunday, February the 14th, which would be after the emergency measures have been lifted. And unless they extend them further, then we'll be able to get back, I'm sure, on the 14th of February. That's Valentine's Day. And what an appropriate day that would be to come back together so that we can express not only our love to one another, but also our love to the Lord. And to do that together on a Sunday service would be just marvelous and wonderful. So everything else that you need to know, obviously our annual meeting has been put off until we're able to get back together again. And so please keep that in mind. The financial report for the last quarter, the annual report, is complete, finishing up the written reports, and the budget proposal for 2021 is all ready to go as well. It just needs to be printed as well. So look for that in the days that are ahead. I think that's all that we'll mention here this morning. If I have forgotten anything, or if there's other things that you may want to have announced, please let me know. Send me an email or a text or something that we'll be able to include them during this time. Also, thank you all for your faithfulness in giving. Many have utilized the e-transfers to send in their offerings. Some have mailed, and might be a little bit more difficult dropping them off at the church with the restrictions of being told to stay at home, but we'll see. I'll probably be in the office on Friday anyways, and if you feel comfortable enough to be out and want to drop it off here at the church, then you're welcome to do so. Yes, some special music this morning. A song entitled "Calmly Resting in the Lord." Certainly need to have that kind of experience in our life these days, to calmly rest in the Lord. This is actually a Fanny Crosby song. She had penned the words, but they were never published. And a number of her her poems were discovered, and the poems given to various groups, music groups, to put to music. And so this one is entitled "Calmly Resting in the Lord" by Fanny Crosby, and sung and presented by the Irwin family. And I trust it might be a blessing to you this morning.
Life's a journey day by day, filled with laughter and with pain. But I know that He is with me through it all. When with clouds my path is dim, storms of doubt arise within, I find refuge in the shadow of the cross. I am calmly resting in the Lord. I am trusting fully in His word. Oh, whatever life may bring, my resolve will always be, I am calmly resting in the Lord.
Thank you for that good singing. Now let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn back to Daniel chapter 1. I thought it would be good to remind ourselves of this Old Testament character named Daniel and consider the example that he is for us today. Daniel lived as a captive in Babylon under some pagan kings, but even so, he never gave up his love for God, nor his faith in the Lord God, nor his purpose to live a godly life in his trying circumstances. He therefore sets a wonderful example for us in our present, unusual and perhaps fearful for some, circumstances. We face the difficulty of a worldwide virus as well as the extreme measures put upon us by our governing leaders to, quote, help stop the spread of the virus, unquote. My take on all of this may be different than yours, but we all have to deal with the situation in a godly, Christ-like manner, that we would have a good testimony for the Lord Jesus and for the glory of God. It might seem an impossible task as we are sequestered in our homes right now, but remember, God looks on the heart, and he is looking for faithfulness to himself and to his word on the part of those who believe in him. And we can do that. We can do that in our own personal times of devotions and by connecting with one another in by all means possible to us. And I trust that this emergency measure time will end quickly and we can get back to, quote, seeing one another again. But in the meantime, let's think about Daniel in his situation and see if we can learn some things from his example. First of all, just to note, and we worked through the book of Daniel a number of years ago, and so some things might be familiar to you. A reminder about the theme of the book of Daniel, which is God rules the world. God rules the world. We need to remind ourselves of this truth every day, I think, that God rules the world. This is especially clear in Daniel chapter 4, where King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And simply summarized, he had a dream of a tree cut down and left to lie in the weather for a period of 7 times, and that would be 7 years. And this would be, as Daniel interpreted the dream for him, this would be his state for that length of time because of his pride and selfish honor and glory for this particular purpose. In Daniel 4:17, we read, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. To the intent," and here's the purpose for it, "to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men." This is for King Nebuchadnezzar, king in Babylon, the great king in Babylon, who had succumbed to pride and to his own honor, his own glory, and he was bereft of his rule and put outside and acted as an animal for this period of time until he would know that the Lord God rules in the kingdom of men. While we might wonder where God is in all of our difficulties today, the truth is, he does rule in the kingdom of men. He sets up over it the basest or the lowliest of men. And he wants us to be faithful, to act in righteousness, godliness, and holiness, and trust him through it all while he fulfills a purpose in this world to show mankind that he is God, that he, as Most High, ruleth in the kingdoms of men, gives it to whoever he wishes, and sets up really over the kingdoms of men, the basest of men. It's interesting, in our days, politicians think that they're kind of the top, the cream of the crop, if you want to put it that way. But in God's estimation, they are the basest of men, and sometimes we see that trait coming through pretty clearly. So the theme of Daniel, and throughout the book, we see this reinforced, is that God rules the world. The name Daniel means God is my judge. God is my judge. Yes, God will judge his people with righteousness and justice, but also with love, grace, and mercy. Perhaps these days we are in is a time for God to judge our faithfulness to him. You ever thought about it that way? That God is bringing all of this difficulty and unusual circumstance into this world, into our country, our province, our city, our own personal lives, in order to test us for our faithfulness to him. Perhaps that's what he is doing. Also, God will judge all men, even governing authorities, for how they have carried out their tasks as leaders. And I think that there are some who will not come out well after their judgment by the Lord. Now, Daniel's life and ministry bridges the entire 70-year period of the Babylonian captivity. Recall that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took the nation of Judah into captivity in three great waves against the Israelites. In 606-605 BC, he took Daniel and his three friends. The second wave was in 598-597 BC, when he took Ezekiel and others away to Babylon. And the third wave was in 586 BC, when he destroyed the city of Jerusalem and tore down Solomon's temple, completing the captivity of Judah. Daniel served in Babylon those entire 70 years in the various governments that ruled out of Babylon. And so Daniel ministered under the reigns of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius the Mede, and Cyrus the Persian. Daniel 9 tells us that he was reading in Jeremiah's book about the 70-year captivity of Judah. And so Daniel began to pray, confess his sin and the sins of the nation Israel as that termination point approached. He read it. He saw that 70 years were determined. He figured on his calculator that it must be getting towards the end of that time period. And so Daniel, understanding that, went to prayer, confessing the sins and submitting himself and his people back to the Lord. So for each of these three waves of captivity, there was a consequent return of Israel to their land. The first wave of return was in 536 under Zerubbabel. The second wave returned in 527 under Ezra, and the third and final return in 516 BC under Nehemiah, who rebuilt the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. And Israel was granted a return under the rule of King Cyrus of Persia. So Daniel ministered all through those 70 years of captivity. He served each of these rulers in their governments. Awesome how God organized Daniel's time in captivity under foreign kings and rulers to be a great governor himself in and under those various kings. And we note here that nothing is impossible for God, that he can do as he wishes within the kingdoms of men, and thank the Lord that he had Daniel to be found favored and to have wisdom and understanding of visions and dreams, and that put him into a very good position within the governments to help. And as we see throughout the book, God is indeed the ruler of the world. Daniel 1 here before us gives us the background of Daniel, his captivity, his introduction to Babylon, the education system of Nebuchadnezzar, and then his unwillingness to defile himself, and then a few brief verses at the end of the chapter to give us Daniel's reputation in Babylon. And you can read verses 17 through 21, just glance over those verses, and that gives you a summary of his reputation. And all of this, it would seem to all of us who know God's word, was because of God's grace in Daniel's life. And Daniel, through his activities in Babylon, gives us a wonderful pattern for a godly life in the midst of some very trying circumstances for him. So consider, in the balance of the time that we have this morning, three things about Daniel. Number one, Daniel was a man of godly purpose and principle. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, Daniel was a man of godly purpose and principle. Verse 3 through 8. Daniel was an outstanding personality, according to verse 3. But even more so because he had a godly purpose in his life. He was all of those outward things in verse 3, which says, in verse 3, the king spake unto Ashkenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but was well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Daniel certainly possessed all of those outward things, but he also had an inner purpose and principle that the Babylonians did not at first perceive, but was demonstrated to them over the years that Daniel ministered in Babylon. All that we see of Daniel in this book is sprung from his heart. It sprung from his heart. Look at verse 8 again. But Daniel purposed in his heart. And over in chapter 10, verse 12, we see the same thing, that he purposed in his heart. So what did Daniel purpose in his heart? Well, the text tells us he purposed not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat and his wine. And we know that the word defile means to pollute. How easy it is in our modern world today to allow the things of the world to pollute our minds, our beings. Often it can't be helped because we are bombarded with the world's philosophies, sin, blasphemies. How terrible when the church, though, when Christians consciously bring these things into their lives and to others around them. Let us model our lives and our church after Daniel and be men and women of godly purpose. We also know that Daniel was a man of prayer, right? Three times a day, morning, noon, and evening, he prayed to the Lord God. You can see that in chapter 6, verse 10. Also in chapter 10, verse 12, we're told that he set his heart to understand the word of God. This is his desire to understand doctrine, the word of God, the faith once delivered to the saints, so to speak. Lots of folks today want to settle for a superficial understanding of God's word and his plan for his creation. They prefer entertainment to exposition. They want simplicity instead of study. They say doctrine is too divisive, too hard. Beloved, let us set our heart to understand God's word, God's will, and God's way. Let us purpose in our hearts to not defile ourselves with the things of the world, nor pollute ourselves in our response to the dictates of governing authorities as we are under that authority today. Let us be men and women of godly purpose and principle. Secondly, we see of Daniel that he was a man of godly service. Godly service. The Lord had gifted Daniel with the kind of ability to serve in the governing of a foreign government. Just think about that, if you would. He's a Jewish captive young man who is given great favor to the governing authority, a foreign government. And here we find Daniel served Nebuchadnezzar as a counselor and as a wise man. You can see from chapter 1, verse 20, down through chapter 2, verse 13, and then also in verse 48 of chapter 2. He also served in Belshazzar's day, although in a somewhat subdued capacity, I believe. That would be chapter 5, verses 10 to 13, and also check verse 29. Daniel also served Darius the Mede as one of the three presidents with the potential of being set over the whole realm. In fact, in chapter 6, verse 28, we are told that Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, at least till the third year of Cyrus. That's chapter 10, verse 1. God had given Daniel favor in the eyes of these kings and an influence in the kingdom. Even though Israel was in captivity, Israel's God was still active on his throne and among his people. But more than being a servant to monarchs, Daniel was a servant of God Almighty. Daniel 6, verse 16 and verse 20. Now, Daniel was just satisfied to do what God wanted done. That's a pretty good principle that we should have in all of our lives. Just do what God wanted to be done. We have seen Daniel, his desire not to be defiled. We have seen him pray. We will see him if you read through the rest of the book, and we're going to look at a couple of more instances in his life and in the life of his three friends as they deal with some governing commandments. We will see him trust God for answers to difficult problems, dreams, and even handwriting on a wall. In Daniel 9, after he discovered the cause for the 70-year captivity of Israel by reading Jeremiah's book, Daniel prayed and interceded for his people. Chapter 9, verse 2 through 6, and then 16 to 19. A true servant of God, concerned for himself, concerned for his brethren, concerned for the lost, concerned for the reputation of the Lord God in this world. That's an awesome undertaking, isn't it? And he's doing it in a foreign land as a captive to foreign kings, ungodly kings at that. How could he do it? Well, the answer to that, I submit to you, is found in Daniel chapter 10. If you want to turn there to Daniel 10, look at verse 11. This is a word from an angel in vision. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And if you look down at verse 19, he says once again, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. So Daniel was a man greatly beloved of God and strengthened by the Lord to do the things that God wanted him to do. God loves us, you know. We are, as Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the Beloved, that is the Lord Jesus. We are greatly loved of the Lord. The question is, how will you then serve him? Can't always serve the Lord in pleasant circumstances. Sometimes the circumstances are difficult and they're rough. Will we still serve him in all of that? Do the things that he wants us to do? I trust that you will. I know that you want to, and I trust that God will give us strength and grace to be able to serve him acceptably in these days. The last thing, number three, about Daniel here as an example for us is that Daniel was a man of godly courage. He was a man of godly purpose and principle. He was a man of godly service. And here we see also in his book that he was a man of godly courage. Daniel had courage to suggest to the eunuch looking after them that he might not defile himself with the king's wine and meat. That was a little risky for him to do, but nonetheless he had such a purpose in his heart that he made the request to the ones who were looking out after him for a test, take 10 days, give us pulse to eat, basically just some vegetables and water, and then see how we are at the end. That took some courage as a new captive into the great kingdom of Babylon. If you remember any of the other events in the book of Daniel, we also take note of the courage that Daniel had to tell Nebuchadnezzar, the king, that he would be reduced to the level of an ox in the field because of his pride. Yikes. It would take a great deal of courage to do that, but he had been with the king for a while now, and he wanted to serve the Lord, and this was part of God's judgment against the king. Daniel had courage to tell Belshazzar that he was doomed because he profaned the things of God. When he had that great feast and ate and drank from all the vessels of the Lord in their drunken, riotous party on the night that the fingers appeared and wrote on the wall, Daniel had to come in and interpret it for them and told Belshazzar he was doomed. Daniel had courage because of the strengthening hand of God upon his life. And that for 70 years, perhaps 70 plus years in captivity, the third year of Cyrus. That's a long time. Daniel was an old man by the time that the 70 years were done. And yet he still remained faithful to the Lord. His courage didn't seem to abate at all, even into his older years. He had courage. When you think about courage, we have to say that courage is not something that we pump up in ourselves, like you see athletes try and do before the start of a game, and they're banging into each other and pounding each other and yelling and whatnot at each other to build up the courage and the determination, the zeal to play the game and win. It's not something we pump up in ourselves, but rather courage is something God builds into us as we trust in and depend upon him. You may find yourself at some points in time not having courage to do some great thing for the Lord. May I just say to you, trust the Lord. If this is part of his plans and purpose for you to accomplish his will, he will give you the strength and the courage. If you want to read about Joshua in Joshua 1, chapter 1, you will find that God granted Joshua courage as he obeyed the word of God. So Daniel sets for us a wonderful example. He is purposed in heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. We would say purposed in heart not to defile ourselves with the things of this world around us. He was outstanding in service, even in the midst of a foreign land as a captive to the Babylonians. He still served the Lord in serving the governments of those kingdoms. Outstanding in service. And he was bold in courage to stand for the things of the Lord in a captive land under difficult circumstances. What an example he is. Our circumstances today are difficult. We find it frustrating not to be able to meet together to worship the Lord and to see each other in our church building. But even though we're not here, we are still the church. We are still Berean Baptist Church. And even if we're separated for a bit, We can still worship the Lord, still be an encouragement to each other, still be purposed in heart. We can still be outstanding in service and bold in courage to not only stand for the Lord, but to be faithful to him. So let us commit ourselves to being a Daniel in our circumstances even today. And we trust for God's grace and his help to be like a Daniel. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning, and thank you so much for Daniel, for including his book in our scriptures, that we might read of him and of the various things that he had been able to do while a captive in a foreign land. We know that no matter what our thoughts are concerning captivity, sometimes we think that we are being held captive in our own homes right now. But even in those circumstances, we can still desire in our heart, purpose in our heart, not to be defiled by the things of the world, but to stand strong for you, to continue to grow in our understanding of you and your word, and continue to worship you in our hearts, from our hearts, to thyself, wherever we are. And I just pray and thank you for your gift of grace in our lives that gives us the strength to be able to carry on. Bless your word to our hearts this morning. May Daniel be a great encouragement for all of us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for your kind attention and attendance this morning. I trust that you will have a good rest of the day, and we'll look forward to connecting together again during the week, this week as well. If anything changes, we certainly will let you know. And if you are aware of people in our church who do not have internet connection, no access to the church website, maybe you would give them a phone call and just let them know what's going on and what we are doing. Also, we're putting the recorded services on CD as well. So if you would like a CD to give to someone here that doesn't have the internet, then just let me know. We can run off a number of copies of them for you. Have a great day, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time. God bless. We are dismissed.